It's January 28th, and the topic this month is ungodly.
Good evening. I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I thought it was time that I remind you that you are gods and goddesses, that you are part of this universe, and that this universe would be incomplete without you. Each and every one of us is needed. We all have something to offer. And this whole universe is intertwined. Anything that happens sets up a vibration all over the place. And here they come.
You can start now.
Good evening. Good evening, my dear. It's good you wore a nice long coat.
Well,
it's
smart.
Here.
Yeah, I'm used to the cold.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I was just reminding everyone that we are gods and goddesses, that we are part of this whole thing. We are part of this thing called God. We are part of this thing called the universe. And I hope that that is sinking into you, each and every one of you. Oh, Andy, there's these to pass out. We're going to pass out a few things, and then we're going to do questions and answers. Why he's bringing that around, at the beginning of the month when we started this, and it was called Ungodly, Paula asked some questions about metaphysics. And last week I gave you some information on metaphysics. And what I would like to make clear, because you hear the science of mind, and we hear a church of science of mind and all. Ernest Holmes never wanted this to become a church. The only reason why it became a church is because you can save a great deal of money, taxes, if you turn something into a church. That's what Scientology did, and they're making a great deal of money. A great deal of money. But this is a philosophy. And what Ernest Holmes did with science of mind, he took all the truth that he could find in other religions all over, anywhere that the little fine thread of truth went, he followed, and he compiled it into a book called The Science of Mind. Now we have science of mind churches and everything else. But what I think I would like to make clear to you, that brand name churches and all these things that we call churches have so many traditions, they have tenets, they have all kinds of crazy things with it. They have sacraments and all that. Sacraments and all the trappings of the church are man-made, people. They're man-made. This thing called God didn't say, I want 12 stations of the cross, and I want you to cross yourself, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, and the other thing. That's all man-made. That said, there is nothing wrong with that. If it brings you closer to an understanding of what this thing called God is, all well and good. But if it takes you out of that standing, there is something wrong. There's something wrong with any teaching. We're trying to get closer to God. We're trying to understand this whole thing. And when we use this word God, remember, we're not looking at a man anymore. We're looking at an intelligence, we're looking at an energy, we're looking at life itself. That is what we're trying to figure out. We're trying to get more knowledge of what actually is going on so that we can use it and bring it into our lives and not store it away and only bring it out on Sunday. You know, I have my friend Doug the Baptist, I told you, he goes to church all the time. He's not a Baptist anymore. I don't know what he is now. But he could sit in that church and never understand one word the man was saying. Of course, I couldn't understand that church either. But one time we were coming home after we had left church, and he said to me, Dallas, do you think I should take a sledgehammer? I'm really banging that truck up so that the insurance company pays me more money. And I said to him, Doug, we just came out of church. What do you mean? You can't do that. He said, well, that's church. This is business. Two completely different things. This teaching, if you learn one thing, this teaching goes through everything. You can't separate this from your life. You can't say, oh, well, that's church and this is business. If you use this teaching in business, your business will grow. Anything you do will grow if you use this teaching correctly. All right, with that said, let me quickly go over this. I have brought out tonight cause and effect, and this is very small and very succinct. What causes health or illness? What causes a relationship to be satisfactory or unsatisfactory? What causes a person to be happy or unhappy? Everyone has beliefs about these things. Their beliefs affect their behavior, and their behavior affects their experience. Is a person's state of health caused by genetics, diet, exercise, and environment? Do thoughts and attitudes affect health? Unity does not deny the importance of physical factors in health matters, but unity metaphysics teaches that among the primary causes of health or illness, indeed, of all our experiences, are our thoughts, beliefs, attitudes, and relationship to God. Our thoughts, beliefs, attitudes, and relationship to God. Now, let me go back a minute to Doug the Baptist. He may be able to do that, say that this is church and that's business and all. But Doug absolutely, thoroughly believes in this thing called God. And when he wants something, he doesn't do a treatment. He says, God, this is what I want. And he gets it. Because that's his belief. That is his belief. Regarding cause and effect, Jesus taught that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. The cause side of the equation is believe that you have received. You must believe that you have received. And the effect side of the equation is it will be yours. It will be yours. It's done with your belief system, people. It's done with your mind. So change your mind. How can we believe that we already have received? Unity teaches the affirming of your good, the visualizing of your good, the giving thanks in advance for your good as ways to believe that you have received. You must keep seeing good everywhere. You must be thankful for everything you have. And I think I've told you that before. In the morning, I sit in my chair and I look out at all the things that are in my place, and I give thanks for all those things, and say, I don't know where some of this came from, but thank you very much. More, please. And that seems to work for me. We can change our beliefs by mentally and audibly affirming and reasoning in favor of a statement such as, I am made in the image and likeness of God, or God is my creator. And my inheritance from God is wholeness. Until this statement feels true, you have to keep saying it. Remember, I told you any affirmation that you say, it must resonate inside of you. So if I give you one that I use and it doesn't resonate, change it to it resonates inside of you. And you will hear again, see all the difference in the world. And my inheritance from God is wholeness. We must remember that. Wholeness. We are whole, complete, and perfect beings. Remember? We talked about perfection, that you're absolutely perfect, just the way you are. We can change our beliefs by imagining ourselves the way we want to be, until the image feels true. When we establish a belief in our subconscious mind, the effect follows. So, establish a belief in your subconscious mind, and the effect will follow. So many people are looking at the effects. You can't do anything once an effect's there. You know, it's there. That is the effect. But you can do your beliefs in your subconscious mind. So, don't try to change effects. Try to change the belief that you have. And a different effect will come. But once something has manifested an effect, you can't change it. And people are constantly trying to change the effect. You cannot change the effect. You can change the cause. It's the cause and then the effect. You see? Does that make sense? So, yeah. If you remember this little one, and this came from my friend Betty. God does not ask us to try harder. God asks us to believe more. You see? Not to try harder, but to believe more. Believe in yourself. Believe in this thing called God. Believe that what you are asking for, you have already received, and you will receive it. So, that's as simple as this teaching can become. Everyone wants to make it difficult, wants to make it hard, and all this, that, and the other thing, and think, well, I have to do 9 of these and 10 of these and roll over backwards and this, that, and the other thing. No. All you have to do is change your subconscious mind. Change your mind. Change your life. And that is one of the little slogans that they use. And Andy likes the one, change your mind. Change your life, and it's easy to change your mind. The difficult part is keeping it changed. You have to work on keeping it changed, because your mind and the world will keep eroding that. And it will keep telling you something different. So don't believe your mind, and don't believe the world. Know that you are whole, complete, and perfect. And there is nothing wrong with asking for everything. You are not being greedy. You cannot be greedy, because this thing is not a pie that we are slicing up. I can have all that I want and take nothing away from anybody else. All that I want. So, it's all done with your thinking. So with that, I'll open it up to questions and answers. And you had one.
I had one from last week. Well, last week you said that everything was God.
Yes.
And I questioned in my head, what about the cruelty that sometimes happens?
The cruelty is man-made. It's not, doesn't come from God. It's like people who think that Hitler is suffering in hell. I sincerely doubt that, people. I sincerely doubt that. We go to heaven. We always return to the Godhead, because we are part of the whole thing, and we go back home. We go to this thing that we call the Godhead. We return to where we came from. Now, all that, the atrocities and so forth that are in the world, come from the mind of man. We are free to think and do anything we want. We're free agents here. God did not make puppets. So, when you see all that cruelty and so forth, you know that it did not come from God. I was watching television on Sunday, and I was watching the Huckabee Report, and he had two people in there. Oh, no. Could have driven me crazy. But I continued with it. And they were sure that God allowed their son to suffer so that they could learn something. Yes, and she wrote a book called Etched in My Heart, I think. She wrote a book. Now, you see, that's world, and that's race mind out there, and that's why everyone believes all this stuff. You hear it on television, somebody writes a book about it, and everyone says, well, this may, yes, and God made that suffer, and I saw it because that poor child was suffering, I learned something. What an idiotic statement. Absolutely, God does not send suffering. Why does God not send suffering? Because God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. If you are suffering, God is suffering. And God does not suffer. Only you suffer with your thinking. So, Change that thinking. Does that help you? See, the human mind always wants retribution. They want to give punishment. They want to do all that. We say, oh, you can't let that person get away with that. God will let you get away with it. Why do we always have to step up? Do you remember the statement, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? And we think we have to go out and get vengeance all the time, that we have to do all this kind of craziness. See, this new thing tonight's coming on for 2 hours, Dallas, the television program. It's loaded with hatred. It's hatred, deceit, name it. It's just an ugly, ugly thing. People slapping each other around and doing this, that, and the other thing. And people think, they watch that for 2 hours, and they say, see how humans are? See how that is? Don't watch it. Watch something else. You know, because it sinks into your subconscious mind, and you start to believe that that's the way the world is, and that is not the way the world is.
But can't you turn that around and watch it with just the opposite in mind, that this is not the way people are supposed to treat each other?
Yes. If you're strong enough to do that, do it.
I'm sorry?
If you're strong enough to do that, do that. But most people are not strong enough to do that. I told you the story about Raymond Charles Barker. He would read the New York Times every page, and when he was finished, he would say, not a damn word of truth in it. Not a damn word of truth in it. And there's no truth in those sitcoms or whatever those things are called. TV.
I think most people watch it with the idea of it just being a fantasy, something to escape to for an hour.
Yes, but why couldn't we escape into something wonderful where we saw beautiful things and beautiful
maybe
people?
Maybe there's nothing wrong
with that. You know, because we always want to go to that dark side. We want to see, we want to do that instead of going to the light side of things.
That's quite interesting, though. Everything is God.
Yes.
Where does that stuff come from, and why in your experience?
Well, because of man. We have our we have our own free will, and we make these things up. And we live in these fantasies. That's all that's out there.
I have a question that's kind of along the line of what she's asking. When did we decide to separate? And we were one.
Yes.
One with God one time. God was the thing, and then we decided. I read the book, The Game of Life. So being consciousness.
Yes.
Which is our, I guess, ego consciousness.
Yeah.
And that's the separation.
Right.
When did that happen?
Well, way back, remember, that's why we have that story of the Garden of Eden. And that's when we separated. Everything was going hunky-dory in there. Till they ate from the tree of good and evil or knowledge or whatever they ate from. The apple. No, the science of mind is not believing that, but the world is certainly believing it. Yes.
It's a subconscious, higher-conscious separation.
Yes. Yes.
But how does that explain that on a metaphysical level? About the question she's asking about the separation.
Yeah. How does that happen, the separation?
The Bible says Adam and Eve and the apple and all of that.
And it says the serpent and all of that stuff. So they made up some human made up a story to tell people why it's like this, you see. And people started to believe that because there were a lot of dumb people in the world, you know, a lot of dumb people. So they said, oh, well, that makes absolute sense. And we see that in our own mind. We have to... a lot of money changing going on here. We have to see in our own mind. We can see what our minds... You know, once you have your mind trained, you can see how devious it is.
okay, we're in higher consciousness, and we're in, and someone said something like, let's think an evil thought or something.
Yes.
And we said, okay, let's do
because
it.
Because you're allowed to think anything you want. We got stuck in. Right. Well, yes. it got exciting.
So we could all be in Eden or running out of Eden at any moment.
Well, yes, but I always tell everyone we've never been kicked out of Eden.
Yeah.
We've never been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. It's all around us. It's right here. Why do we want to believe that we were kicked out? This thing called God's not going to kick you out. So, don't believe those things. There's too many myths going on, especially in religion. And it gets all discombobulated. It's done with your mind. You have to learn to control your own thinking. And you can make a choice. You can say, I'm going to hate that person, or I'm going to love that person. You see?
Dallas, I have a couple of questions.
Absolutely. Let me have them. Let me have them.
Well, I started reading the book that Sue sent us, and it the first part of it puzzled me when it started talking about, now I'm referring to the circle of the metaphysical circle, with God at the top and the subconscious in the middle and focus or
right.
What is the word I'm looking for? When you actualize is at the bottom.
Right.
And that's not the word I'm saying. Anyway, in the book, it talked about the super
consciousness. Yes.
Super conscious.
Yes.
And they said that was God.
Yes.
But in the metaphysical circle,
yes.
Consciousness
yes.
is God.
Yes.
And that's the upper part of that circle.
Because during the time of Florence Shinn, they used that super consciousness. Well, you don't hear that and you don't read that anymore.
Okay.
That's an antiquated belief that she had, and that's how she explained the whole thing. But we don't use that anymore. We've grown out of that.
The other question is about metaphysics.
Yes.
And my question is, metaphysics is a philosophy, and science of mind has Ernest Holmes incorporated that into his into science of mind. That's all a part of it, combined.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. So how is it that Christians can also incorporate metaphysics into their beliefs?
Because remember, I just read Jesus here saying, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have, and it will be given to you. That's a metaphysical affirmation.
Yeah, that's what they're all.
But Jesus studied with the Essenes, who were very metaphysical.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus was a metaphysician. But And he never wanted a church either. He didn't know that this people were going to take this and make it all the thura all over him. And then that thread of metaphysics runs through the churches, but they don't believe it anymore. They just don't do it, you know. And I remember when I asked them at one of the churches. It says right here, you can do this in greater things. Oh, no, that's you can't do that. It's right there in black and white. You can do this in greater things. They say, oh, no, you can't. See, they won't teach people that they have. You are responsible for yourself. We have been taught for centuries, for millennia, to place the blame outside of ourselves someplace. And we love to place the blame on God. God caused that kid to suffer. God caused that to happen. No, you caused it to happen with your thinking. You see. But the whole world teaches blame, and we are always trying to find the scapegoat. Or always somebody else. Oh, somebody else did that. You know, that's their. They caused that. But you're causing everything. The world teaches that, and it's so embedded in our society. We're just now getting over it. You know, getting past this. I doubt your parents would have understood most of this stuff.
With my what?
Your parents would have understood most of this stuff. They didn't. Well, because they didn't have a chance. You see, they didn't. They took for granted if the priest or the pastor or whatever stood up and said something, they said, oh, yes, he's the pastor. He must know what he's talking about. Well, I run into a lot of ministers who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. She would have questioned. Well, good. But so many people do that. They just go down the... Hey.
The other part of my question is, if in metaphysics we're taught to question everything, to really look deep,
yes,
and if Christians really questioned some of the principles in Christianity, and if they really dug deep, they would come up with the truth, which isn't a lot of times
what they want. They're absolutely afraid to do that, because what the churches are teaching is so much twaddle. It has no logic to it whatsoever. And if you say, I believe all this stuff, and then you start to examine it and find out, oh my goodness, that makes no sense, it's not logical, it's not intelligent, it's not this, that, and the other thing, now you've destroyed your religion. And people are coming to the point. Remember, for centuries, if you were born a Catholic, you stayed a Catholic. If you were born a Lutheran, you stayed a Lutheran. You could not move outside of the religion that you were born into. You can do that now. You can move to whatever religion you want. But they were not able to do that, and that's still lingering. There's always this lingering belief going on. People are afraid to examine their own beliefs, and they're certainly afraid to examine what the church is telling them. Yes. Remember, they still think that Pope is infallible. Anything he says is absolutely correct. He's infallible. Now, there's no one that's infallible. No one. But they believe that. And they're not ready to change that, because that would destroy that system. So you would have to be loyal to the system. And there's so many, as I said before, there's so many priests and so forth which are closeted metaphysicians. But they can only think so far, because they run into the box of doctrines. The church doctrine says, oop, and they have to stop, because that's stamped out. No, this is the way it is. So.
My first one is, when you say, or when anyone says, look within.
Yes.
And I noticed that Florence was talking about the fourth dimension, again, and the manifestation in the psychic plane, all that stuff.
Yes.
When you're looking within, what are you looking? What's happening?
Well, when you're looking, when they say that, or your true self, or look within and find, because all the answers are inside of you. They're not on the outside of life. So you're always looking for your God center. You're always looking for that inside of you. And from that, you move out. But most people are looking out. They're not going inside of them. And here again with the fourth dimension and all that, that was another system that they had back then that we don't talk, you know, that's sort of gone by the wayside. The most wonderful thing about Florence Shinn is she was able to manifest, rather she used different terms. They used to use the word ether. You don't hear the word ether anymore. It's in the ether. You know, that's been...
How did she use it?
What?
The word ether.
Well, I don't know how she would use the word ether exactly, but the ether was, they thought that there was something out here like that moved things, and that was the ether. You could, you know, send things through the ether. That. Well, now we know that that's, there's things out there, but it's not that. It's not the ether, yes. But they remember that back, that's at least 100 years or more ago. So they have to grow up through that, you know. This teaching is growing all the time. And it's
open at the top.
Well, maybe, yes. Wow. And that's the mistake.
Yeah.
There's what we, because it's not in front of you. You have to change that. I already have the car. The car is here. I'm driving the car. I'm doing this. But that is where your belief comes in. You must do that till it becomes real.
Then
but
you have unworthiness on top of it.
Yes, and you have unworthiness on top of it, and then you think you're playing a game, and all that stuff. It's not a game, people. But you have to know that it's already done. All things are done in mind. All things are already done in mind. They are not appearing on this plane of action at the present moment because of the insufficiency of your thought. Does that help you?
Yeah, so when I get up in the morning, what should I say?
How I have everything that I need.
And that will cover whatever I'm trying to manifest.
Yes.
Okay.
Another wonderful one to remember is I always get what I want.
Really? I've never heard you say that.
And also,
I've used that many times. That's the most powerful affirmation you can do.
And also, I believe, but help me with my unbelief.
Yes.
And another one is, and so it is.
And so it is, yes. It's already done. Yes. That one that Andy just mentioned is a fabulous one. I believe. But help me with my unbelief. And that's not a made up one. Well, it's probably made up. Somebody made it up. But that's written in the Bible. Because that's all we're trying to do. We all believe. But we all have some kind of doubt going on. So we say, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. This is when you turn it over to this thing called God. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Now you're being honest. See, many people think they're lying to themselves and so forth. You're never lying to yourself. You know, if you're lying to yourself, you're not doing it correctly. Or if you feel that you're lying to yourself, you're not doing it correctly.
Okay, expanding on the car thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I envisioned myself in a blue Odyssey, which I had, and I even envisioned the license plate, first line saying, I matter, because you're allowed 7, and that's 7.
Right.
I still don't have the car. I imagine the garage door opening, driving
right.
in.
Mm-hmm. Now, why don't you think you have it? No, because you say I still don't have it.
No, I'm telling you a fact that I don't.
But that's in your mind.
But I'm asking a question. I'm asking for learning purposes.
Yes.
Why is it that I envision all the time?
You keep doing it till you have it.
I found
right.
old keys,
right.
car keys, and I hold them locked up.
All right. Then know that it's on its way to you, and it's going to materialize in your garage. There's no time in the mind of God, people. And this is where we fall into trouble. We want it done in our time. There's no time in the mind of God. You'll get your car. So why don't you, do you get up every morning and say, I have a car?
No, I should do that.
I would.
I have a car that I want. That's
yes.
Better, right?
Well, you do it the
not
way.
I have a car that could give me a.
Well,
what?
Well, could give you a Cadillac too.
Oh, I have the. I do have. Oh, here's another thing I need to ask you. This is going to sound weird, but.
Oh, I doubt it. Coming from you, I doubt it.
You know how words are important.
Yes. Words structure thought, and thought structures reality.
In this period of time, I have credit card debt, and I already got served. And there's a possibility I can get more for more. I'm wondering if I should stop going by Sue and start going by Susan right now.
So you don't get any more notices? Well, you're going to get that they're going to catch up with you. They're going to catch up with you, so now you have to turn that over to God. Say, I have no idea how to take care of this, but I know you do, so do this for me.
So you don't think it would help to stop going by Sue?
Well, I think that would be devious.
Okay.
And we cannot be devious, people.
You said, I have no idea how to do this, but you do.
So do it for me. I often use that. I have no idea, but I know you do, so do it for me. We can't have this thing called God that we call intelligence and wisdom and all, and we give them all these wonderful attributes and so forth, and then not use it. See? You have to use God. Remember how many times I tell you people know, the outside world knows, the brand name churches know that God is mighty, but they have no idea that God is useful. And God is useful, or mightily useful. This thing called God's not going to let you down. Not going to let you down. It's an impossibility. Because it would be letting itself down. Absolutely. The only source and the only supply there is. We keep wanting to make it something else.
It almost seems like all the problems have the same answer there. But I'm going to ask. Well, I've been, well, you know, I had shingles like 9 months ago. I was almost ashamed or embarrassed to say that I was taking this medication because there's a, you know, this shingles stuff, this neuropathy kind of stuff. And because, you know, I'm like a partial believer, I guess, in that, and maybe that affirmation that Andy said would probably be pretty appropriate, but it's like, I'm still taking this medication. You know what I mean? Because I was so afraid. Because I had experienced the pain of it. You know, I just, you know, it was just bigger than me. You know,
that's what you have to remember, that God's in a pill or a prayer.
What's that?
You have to remember that God's in a pill or a prayer. Okay. Always God. And if that thing is out there to help you, why would you not take it? See, would you die and say, and well, that would be stupid. God is working through that medicine. God is working through the researchers. God is working through pharmaceuticals. Now, here again, you must use wisdom with it. Now, if you take a pharmaceutical and there's 95,000 side effects that you don't like, I wouldn't take it. But what you're taking is a known thing, and we know that it helps. So, use it. someday we won't have pills. Someday we won't have all these medicines. So forth. We'll be able to do that from a higher plane. But at the present moment, we're not there. So, aren't we much further ahead? Look, people used to die at the drop of a hat because they had no antibiotics. You know, you got a cold, you were dead. We don't have that going on anymore. We're growing in in consciousness. We're growing in everything constantly. But we have to sort through some of that stuff. We have to sort through it and see, what is here? What is going on here?
Well, I like what we read here today, the very first sentence. And this is what got me to thinking about the question. My question, and it says, what causes health or illness? And so I've had, for a month or so now, I've had this lower back kind of stiff. Inflammation kind of thing doesn't seem to quite go away, and some days are better than others, but I just can't help but believe, having been coming to you now for a number of years, I don't want to say, maybe it's not correct to say I think I have the power to wish it away. I know you've had some physical challenges in your life, and so many of us have, who don't seem to be symptomatic, or in any way ill. And I think it's because of the right mental attitude.
Do you say to yourself constantly, I don't have an ache or a pain in my body?
Can't hear you.
I don't have an ache or a pain in my body. I use that constantly. Didn't I tell you about falling down and I could have been dead? I didn't even have a bruise. So you do this before. You see, people come. They get sick. Now they come and they want. Don't get sick in the first place. You see? It's easier when you're healthy. Stay healthy. Don't wait till it all goes